Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Walla 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 walla.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases. It's at full.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Okay.
Has somebody got a vampire bat in their damn house?
No, but there's a lot of feedback right there. Wow.
Yeah, Lord. Well, sorry. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Steve's Video Store. I be he that is Steve. And this season, if you're a fan of this show, we beg you to get two or three cheese advent calendars and give them to my first co-host, Carl Kafer. Give him cheese
Greetings,
advent
salutations.
Calendars.
Greetings, salutations. I am the purveyor of fine cheese. And cinematic cheese, too.
And also here, if you have any Godzilla toys, give it to this man, Doc Sludge.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. And hi, everybody. How's it going?
And we have our guest here tonight, Rose.
Machario.
What's your last name again?
Machario.
There you go.
Rose Machario.
You're so nice.
But first,
you got it right.
To the box office. Oh, Carl wanted me to check on something, and here we go. Well, first, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. What the hell's Pitiana? I don't know. Had 320,000 in only four theaters.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's damn good.
The Killing of the Sacred Deer is up five spots, 20 to 25. With $476,000. If you're in Knoxville, it's playing. And from all I've heard is that it's a very fucked up experience.
That's what I understand. It is George, it's Lathimos is the guy's name who directed it. He did Dogtooth. He's a Greek director, and he's out there. He did The Lobster, too. So, yeah, this is going to be something.
And holy crap, up from 47 to 31 is Last Flag Flying, the movie that should have gone semi-wide this week because it's Veterans Day and it's about veterans. And it's made $172,000 of its $241,000 budget. So, do you think it's going to be in any trouble, Carl?
No, I think it'll be fine. It'll be fine because they are going to open that wide. And you should tell them that it's a semi-sequel.
Yeah, it's a semi-sequel to 1973 is the last detail. Written by the same author. Down to the top five. At number five with $3 million is Jigsaw, which has made $34 million on a $10 million budget. Except for one movie, you're going to notice that that's going to play a big part in it. Bad Moms Christmas is down from 2 to 4 with 11 million. Do you think it's going to do all right, Carl? I mean, that is not...
What's the budget? I don't know.
The budget is $28 million. It's made $39 million so far.
So, yeah, it'll be okay.
Number three is Murder at the Orient Express, and it's made $28 million on a $55 million budget. So I say it's going to do good. It's going to do good, too.
Yeah.
It probably already made its money back, including foreign sales. Two is Daddy's Home 2 with $30 million and with a $69 million budget. It'll do good. And Carl would see Daddy's Home too because it has Emilio Lizardo in it.
Well, yes. Emilio is my spirit animal.
And that would be who played him?
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, yeah. And number four with 56 million, number one is 56 million, is Thor Ragnarok making 211 million. So, of course, I don't think nothing's going to knock it out of the box until next week when there's the big fight with it and the Justice League. And now on to our guest. Name your credits, Rose. I mean, I probably have a short time just asking you what you haven't done.
Well, I'm the hostess of Dream Big. So to me, that would be the first credit. But I've pretty much just done a couple things, locally, in around Knoxville and Atlanta, mostly some background work. I have had a couple principal roles. Let's see, hashtag murder. That's one of the most recent ones to air. And then also... I'm trying to think what the name of it was called. It came out like almost a year ago, or it's been almost a year since working on it. Murder Chose Me. But there's some other things that I've kind of worked on, but it's not out yet, so I can't say what. But I've done
What in the heck is Dream Big?
I interview people who are chasing their dreams, local talent in and around the Knoxville area, and they come and talk to me and share with me their stories of how they're trying to make it in the field that they're working on, whether they're an actor or a filmography or whether they're a director or a model or just anything that they're, set out to do. I've interviewed musicians and bands and they've got some really cool stories and stuff, but I've interviewed a lot of different actors on different levels of trying to get into the business or kind of been in the business for a while but still working on getting bigger roles and such, so I've met some really awesome people just doing Dream Big, and I stalk them on the internet, believe it or not. I'll find somebody that I know through mutual friends or associates, and I'll go and I'll check out their page and see what kind of stuff they do, and then I contact them and kind of chat with them a little bit and then invite them on the show, so that way I can help promote them. It's all about promotion, because No one is going to do it for you, basically. So, and if I can help out someone else who is trying to make it, even if it's just something, a little bit of something, to give them that extra push out there, then, every little bit helps. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, and we do know on this show about stalking someone on Ryan. Isn't that right, Carl?
No. I didn't stalk her. I just celebrated her. That's all.
Yeah.
Forgive my puns. It's part of my deal, okay?
That's fine.
That's his weakness, is puns.
Bed sheet.
Yes. Puns are fun.
Yes, they are.
I might use some funny puns.
Hey,
she's
a poet and didn't know it.
So occasionally I'll try to throw some out there. I do more whenever for my Dream Big column, which I write about my own personal experiences, you know, trying to make it as an actress and as a model and, you know, as a writer. And so I will kind of collaborate and put together the different things that I'm working on into a column. Sometimes I don't really talk about what I'm doing per se as too much as how the experience made me feel or how I felt afterwards or, you know, just some random things that, you know, I'm just kind of feeling at the moment. And if I feel it, I write it. And that's pretty much what goes up on, you know, my Dream Big column. And then I always have an inspirational quote at the very end, whether it's at the end of my column or at the end of the show. You know, at the very end of the interview, I, you know, have an inspirational quote that coincides with my guest or pertaining to what my guest does. So like a play on words. So
very cool.
Yeah, nice. And I have a big question to ask you. Does Will Allman ever wear normal shoes?
No, I think they're just, you know, his thing. It's like, you know, everybody has their gimmick, and I think his shoes and his T-shirts are just, like, perfect for him.
Yeah, but still, I can remember going to the Knoxville Horror Fest Christmas party, and it was, like, 34 outside, and homie walked in with sandals on. I've never been that tough.
I think it's just whatever you're comfortable with. I've been outside and doing, like, you know, modeling before in the cold and, you know, wearing not much of anything or wearing a whole lot of clothes when it's, like, really hot outside. It just kind of depends on, you know, what's needed. And, I've been on film sets before, you know, for television or otherwise, and, you know, it'll be really, really hot in Georgia in the summer, and, you know, I have to cover my tattoos, so I have to usually either wear a jacket or a sweater or something, and you're just outside sweating. So I guess it just depends on, like, whoever, like, kind of feels up to you know, what to wear, but yeah, sometimes, and then in Tennessee, you never know what the weather's going to be. You know, you walk outside thinking, oh, it's so sunny and pretty, you know, just looking out the window, you go outside, it's like 19.
Yeah.
So,
I think in Tennessee, it's like, it's hot outside, but then the weather sees you like, hey, you're coming outside. Drop it down.
Oh, right.
You don't see that look on their face.
Or I'll plan to, like, walk, do my normal 3-mile walk that I do every day, and I'll think, okay, I'm going to go out there, and it's just kind of cloudy, and as soon as I go outside, it starts pouring rain, and I have to go back inside. I'm like, well, okay, not going for a walk.
True.
Yeah, so it's kind of, East Tennessee weather can be kind of tricky. She's got a mind of her own.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, somehow I screwed this up, and the show's going to go into overtime in 1 minute. We'll deal with it, but this is annoying the crap out of me because I swear I put it for 2 hours.
Oh, we'll work with it. We'll work with it.
Oh, yeah.
Do any of you guys have a question for Rose?
What made you decide to get into podcasting and doing different shows like you do?
Well, my Dream Big show is actually on YouTube. I haven't ventured into the world of podcasts yet. my column, I started writing it about almost 2 years ago, and I had just finished doing a photo promo shoot for Will Allman's Something's in the Woods movie, you know, where I was kind of wearing the merchandise and stuff and modeling it with an axe also, you know, with an accessory. And I kind of pitched it to Will. I'm like, hey, I have this idea for a show that would kind of be a sister to my column, but, you know, not everybody reads. Because I started kind of interviewing people, like, through, you know, just, like, writing interviews. And we'd either be on the phone or, you know, it would be through email and stuff. And but I'm like, well, not everybody likes to read. So what if we did, like, a show, you know, and I have people on, you know, as guests and things of that nature, you know, and trying to get that done. And I thought it would be interesting, whereas, you know, like, other people could come on and share, you know, their stories and, you know, what they're trying to do. And it's very comforting whenever you do that yourself. Whenever you're trying to get out there, you're trying to, you know, make your mark as an actress or as a model. And, you know, it's very comforting having some other people that you're surrounded by that is doing the same thing and trying the same thing, to where you're not alone. And I hope that, you know, I'm comforting to others, you know, or at least, you know, inspiration to others who are trying to chase their dreams.
Now, would you have any advice for somebody who is in YouTube, or, you know, is beginning YouTube, or like, how to be unique so you actually get a lot of views and different lot of subscribers? What would you suggest?
I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I know that you just have to do it, for one. Don't be afraid to do it. Fear is, you know, it can be your worst enemy, but you can also use it as your guide, to where you're, like, literally learning from your mistakes. So fear is just a learning experience. And you got to find a niche. You got to find your own niche in what you enjoy doing, and because that will be a better seller than just simply, you know, posting it on YouTube and, you know, sharing it all over social media. And there's a lot of marketing to it. And you just have to keep at it and, you know, try to get as many people to share it also. You know, it takes a village. It's very difficult to try to do something on your own. I mean, if you have a friend or someone else that can help you get started, you know, on a YouTube channel show or your podcast or even Facebook Live, you know, or any other, you know, Instagram Live or whatever. I think everything's going live now that, you know, you can stream on, but you know, you just have to do it. You find your thing that you like doing and just do it. And but if you can plan it, like, you know, plan what you're going to do before you do it. I mean, don't just jump in there and start recording random stuff. You know, it's got to be planned, you know, for it to actually go well.
Right. And would you also...
Thank you, Rose. I love you.
Well, I have a YouTube channel that I've been running for about 2 years, and I'm very sporadic with it because of how busy I am with real life. And it's kind of like it's a variety channel right now, like different things, different times, whenever I feel like it. So you definitely suggest, like, finding a certain, like, one thing and just sticking with it, right?
Yeah, or at least be, you know, like, if you're doing a variety of different things, at least be, you know, do it on a regular basis where people can look forward to it. Like, even if you have just one designated day, that's when it comes out. Like, Mondays are Dream Big Days. That's when the column comes out. That's when the show, the new episodes come out. It's always on Monday because not everybody loves Mondays. You know, let's start back to, you know, work, and not everyone, you know, loves their job. So I thought Monday, if I could put something out there to kind of make it a little better to help, you know, get through that first day of the week, to where you at least have a little bit more positive inspiration, you know, of a mindset to kind of get through the day and get through the work week, then, you know, I'm all for, you know, taking one for the team and, and putting something out there on a Monday. But, yeah, just, like, you know, figure out what day works for you, you know, to juggle, you know, things. Because I know for a fact it's really hard to juggle all kinds of different stuff, you know, family and work and, you know, different things that, you know, I'm trying to do. So figure out a day for yourself, which is going to be the most easiest day to film. And then when you get a chance, then you know what day that you actually want to put it out there. Don't try to film and put it out there in the same day. At least give yourself time to, you know, watch and edit or anything that you want to do to it to perfect it in your mind's eye before you put it out there.
Right.
That's why I'm glad these two knuckleheads are my family.
Yep.
Well, I wouldn't be able to do my show without my dream team. And if it were, I mean, Will Allman does, like, you know, he films it and he edits it and he puts it on YouTube and, you know, he does a lot for me. And, you know, Jessica is our all-around gal and, you know, we couldn't do it without her either. And she just kind of does whatever it is that, you know, we need to be done. And then, you know, our location manager, Taylor, he's super awesome, and he does lights and sound and, you know, and gives, you know, like the best advice ever a girl could ever need.
Nice.
So, I mean, our dream team is our own family. So, but like I said, you know, it does take a village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one thing that I...
Okay, go ahead, Carl.
The one thing I've noticed, you know, you're doing this podcast to support people, and you're doing these things, and I hear the whole thing about support, which is very unusual, you know, I think, when we talk about podcasts, because a lot of people want to do it for themselves and get their names out and so on and so forth. I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, like that guy does a podcast on this station on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, but the idea, the question here is, what motivated you to do this and to, you know, to do something to support people? I think that's a wonderful thing, and it's not something that you run across often.
Well, I didn't have any support in, you know, growing up with, you know, things that I wanted to do, and it was one of those things that it was so not supported that I just gave up in wanting to even try to do it, you know, from a very early age. I mean, I'm talking like preteen, early age.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's just one of those things that kind of got snuffed out. And then, you know, I started, you know, life and family and things of that nature way too early. It's kind of popped into one of those careers that, you know, you just had this job and you worked the job and you go to work and you go home and you get up and you go to work and you go home, and it just wasn't for me anymore. And I never quit writing. It's one thing that I just never stopped doing, but I never really published anything before. So I started writing for magazines and started, you know, just kind of submitting stuff, and, you know, had a few things published and some online magazines, modeling magazines, but still online magazines.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got back into modeling, and then for modeling kind of bounced into acting, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to try. And then, you know, listening to other people, whenever, you know, you're sitting around your background and you're just waiting for hours and hours and hours on end before they select whoever they want to say, okay, we want you for this scene and we're going to pick you people, and then, okay, we'll call you back in a few minutes, and then you're sitting still for another hour waiting. But you really get to know people and you really get to talk to them about well, you know, how long have you been doing this? Do you do this just for fun, or do you do it because you see a career in acting and you're starting from the bottom and you're working way up? And just listening to these stories and how a lot of everyone just didn't have the support system. And I'm like, gosh, I know how that feels. And for me, you know, I kind of feel like I'm paying it forward, even though I don't have that much experience in, you know, a lot of things. But I have enough to know that desire, that burning, aching, feel it in your gut, that's what you want to do and that's what you want to be when you grow up. And it's just, to me, it's really awesome feeling to just give that and pass the torch on for someone that might be just too scared to come out and want to do it. Because I pretty much wasted 20 years of not knowing what I wanted to do. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't think it was a possibility. And I hated myself for it. But you can't live with regret if you actually don't allow yourself to. So if I can help out others and give them that inspiration, even if I don't make it, you know, I don't think that would be bad. Like, if I don't make it, it doesn't mean that I can't still inspire someone else to do
absolutely
what they want to do. So that's how I look at it. So
I got a question, Rose.
Yeah.
If you waste 10 years of your life in a city hanging around with the wrong film crowd trying to get something started, but you end up with nothing, do you think that's a waste of a decade?
No, it's a learning experience.
Thank you, Rose.
Shut up,
I love you. No.
To me, if there's like any type of wasted time, it's just because you didn't try. You know, Yoda says it best, you know, do or do not, there is no try. But you can't just sit there and wait for something to happen. I mean, you know, I spend the better part of my day on social media, looking for guests or chatting with people about being guests, cyber-stalking people about being potential guests, I try to promote the show as much as I can. I promote others. I mean, if you literally go on my Facebook page, you can see that I post more other people's stuff, like what they're doing, way more than I do myself. And then the second thing that I post is cat videos.
I do too. Mine are more like cat videos.
Yes, yes. We all love the cats.
So, and then cars and food. I'm such a foodie, but like there's like all these different like videos, the cooking videos and, you know, recipes and stuff. I'm like, oh, that looks good. I'm going to share it and make everyone else just as hungry as I am.
There's one thing I got to give you real credit for. In a lot of your cooking or live on Facebook videos.
Yes.
It's a bold thing for a girl to go au natural like you do without the hair and the makeup.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm only human, and I can't look like a made-up model all the time. I just can't. I can't afford the makeup.
I know, but it's just that you usually see never seem like, I don't have much on right now. And then you see that they spend an hour working on their makeup to look like they don't have any makeup on.
Yeah, no, if I'm not going to have makeup on, I'm not going to have makeup on. My go-to for minimal makeup, like if I want to have that natural look, but I want to still see that I have eyebrows and eyelashes, which I have grown my eyebrows out. You can see those without them being penciled or whatever, but, you know, I at least put on mascara. And I always have lip balm, whether it has color or not. I always have lip balm on. But if I'm going to do something that, you know, like I've had to work on certain shows and be more natural, and I will literally only have tinted moisturizer on, powder, maybe a tiny bit of blush just to, you know, have some color in my cheeks, and mascara and some lip balm. and that's it. And I've even done a tutorial, I think, on that.
Yeah, for some reason I've seen your videos a month before we were friends.
Uh-huh.
Probably because Will.
Right. Yeah, Will is so awesome for sharing. And it took me a long time to even have, like, confidence to do any of the live stuff because I just kind of felt silly. Like, okay, I'm not speaking to anybody per se. I'm just talking to myself in a way. But it did actually help me to have way more confidence in doing audition tapes because now you don't actually have to go, you know, really and sit and wait in a room to audition. A lot of production companies and casting and stuff, they will actually allow you to read the sides and do, you know, video auditions. And I really felt like I just totally bombed the first couple of video auditions I did. And then I started doing the live videos and I'm like, okay, so this is pretty much it. Like, I'm pretending like I'm talking to somebody and not feel silly about it as much. So, I mean, people like type stuff and type their comments in, you know, the live videos. And then, you know, I can kind of answer them as it kind of comes through the threads, but it just made it a whole lot easier.
Nice.
And that's why I like, it's amazing how welcoming the Knoxville scene really is. Like, it was 3 years ago, I just started writing for Wings Chop, and I walked in and was like, hey, I write for a magazine. Oh, cool, how you doing? Meet everybody. Hey, look, he writes. I'm like, wow. that support that the Knoxville filmmaking scene has for everybody else.
Yes, which is pretty awesome. I mean, there really is a really good support system, and, you know, I'm trying to bring as many people together that, you know, been on my show, and, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, even on down the road that, you know, we can still keep that kind of family feeling, you know, going towards and bouncing off my guests and just anybody else that, you know, we kind of share it. I want everyone to kind of feel like they're part of the Dream Team. So, and, you know, coming on the show or just even after watching it, you know, I want someone to feel warm, fuzzy, and inspired after they've watched it.
Okay, because Stephen, Time Squirrel, we're probably going to move the subject, if Carl doesn't mind, to Tuesday.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I've watched your videos. You had a hell of a recipe for chicken noodle soup.
Yes, you do.
Thanks.
I love the sound of it. Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was pretty one of those, you know, pretty easy, you know, inexpensive, you know, let's do it with what I got to work with.
Yeah.
Any cook is like that. Any cook.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Well, let me
finish
what I'm about to say, Carl, before you go on.
Okay, go.
I was very lucky, and I'm celebrating next week that I met Goofus here, Mr. Kafer, on the day after Thanksgiving. The show wasn't nothing, and then Goofus sent it wrong, and it became what it is.
Well, that you talk about Rose, you know, being a family, and we tried to do that here too. You know, not only with the people that are involved, but our guests. You know, you're always we always try to support them. We have someone right now going through some difficulties, and we'll talk about that later in detail. But you know, anything we can do for the people, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And of course, Stephen won't say it, you know. But we feel the same way, you know. So it's nice to see that attitude out there. It really is.
The problem is, Rose, is that we're always fighting. Carl wants us to be a big, happy family, and I'm more for the Manson family.
Nah, he's not that bad. Steve, I mean,
well, Steven is my adopted brother, and I love him dearly, but don't think we don't get at each other's throats once in a while. Because there is a difference. Yes?
Huh?
And it is 7:30, and you said you only wanted to do 7:30 minutes, sadly.
Yeah, I got to get my kids ready for bed because tomorrow's, you know, first day back to school for the week. So, yeah, I gotta do the mom thing.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on, though. It was very, very awesome. And I just sent you a
welcome back anytime.
So much for having me.
Yeah, I just sent you a friend request. I sent you a friend request on Facebook. It doesn't say Doc Sludge. It says Eric, so that's me.
Okay.
And I will be sending you one also, Rose.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Such an awesome guest.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me on, Rose. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Rose, I'll need you the next time they start disagreeing with me, and I have to take my side because I think you got those two wrapped around your fingers, and I could use that to my advantage.
I would say probably that's a yay. I'm just saying.
Rose,
it was a pleasure, my dear. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, thank you so much. And if you guys need anything, you know where to find me.
All right.
Thank you.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Night.
Bye. Carl. Now, we're going to talk about the show. I'm still trying to upload the show. That's really why I pretty much screwed up is I'm juggling crap here today. And I'm uploading the show, and it's almost up. And tell us, why am I doing it, Carl, and what's it about?
Okay, so we are very good friends with Gene Silver. Gene Silver has been on our show. Now, Gene was an adult performer in the 70s. Best known as Long Gene Silver and Handicapped. And she has basically been asked to vacate her place. She has some ongoing difficulties, medical and just financial and that sort of thing. And our good friends at the Rialto Report, Ashley West, put together a GoFundMe page. We will put it on our page. I'll put it on my own page and Steven and so on and so forth. But we do ask, you know, we were just talking to Rose about support. And, you know, this is someone who is one of the sweetest people on the face of the earth. She also did a show with us, which has the biggest guffaw, laugh out loud moment I have ever had on the show. And
if
she's
mentioned
just
it many
a wonderful
times
human
now,
being.
You knew people get a chance to hear it.
Yeah. And so Steven is uploading the show. It'll run afterwards or you can just go on the archive page. You'll have that on the archive page, right, Steven?
Yeah. As soon as it goes up, you're going to be able to. There's none of this waiting crap. You can download it and listen to it as soon as it goes up, and that will be at 10 o'clock tonight. You can just...
Okay, so...
It'll be done.
So anyway, so we ask you to listen to the show, but more importantly, if you have any extra money or that sort of thing that you wish to give to Gene, please do so. She's certainly worthy of it, and we send out our love and our support to her. We love her dearly. Jean, I hope you listen to this and know that you're all in our thoughts and prayers, and we'll try to do more than that, too. All right? So there you go.
And this doesn't have to do with Jean, but anyone who would kick somebody out of their place this close to the holidays and not wait till January is a motherfucker.
I agree.
For sure.
I agree. She was given a 60-day notice of, I think, less than a week ago. So she'll be out before Christmas, which is a bunch of crap.
Unbelievable.
Well, that's what happened. My dad lives in Casa Grande, which is like next door to where Phoenix is. And they're pretty much gentrifying the whole city and trying to get rid of all the This is Arizona we're talking about. They're trying to get rid of everything that's Mexican in Arizona. Well, you've seen them in the news. And that includes the old neighborhood. They're trying to make it all look good so the young urban professionals can move in and the white people can feel safe.
You know something? I always thought my favorite places to live were a mixed neighborhood. And I live in one now, too, you know, on the edges, but nonetheless. And I don't get it. I mean, gentrification to me might be a necessary evil, but God damn it, it can be evil.
Not necessary, but it is evil.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we talk about the Deuce. You know, the Deuce had to be cleaned up by the late 80s. It just had to.
Yeah.
You know.
But it ain't the Deuce that pisses us off.
No.
It's Hell's Kitchen. It's Harlem. It's Queens. It's Little Italy.
It's Red Hook.
Odessa. It's Chinatown. Red Hook.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Where the real people live, not the hood.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget who said it. It might be Dick Gregory. He said in the 70s, Harlem was the capital of Black America.
Right.
Nowadays, you'd be lucky if you see 3 or 4 Black people in Harlem.
Except if you go to Sylvie's. And that's about it.
And didn't you say you lived in a place where you walked down the stair on the right side, a little bit on your right was a Jewish deli, and a little bit on your left was a Mexican restaurant or something?
Yeah. That was actually Astoria. And you'd have Greek delis and so on and so forth. Now, when I lived in Midwood, it was all Jewish. Okay? And Midwood has changed completely, too.
Yeah.
And it just breaks my heart. To me, going into a city and finding these little enclaves of ethnic food and ethnic ideas and that was one of the great things about living in New York. And I'm not seeing that now.
And if you went into a deli or any of those restaurants, little mom and pop restaurants, in a regular basis, after a while, you wouldn't even have to give an order. Because they know what you want.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There was a Greek diner when I was living on 99th Street. It was on 96th. And every so often, they knew me, you know, and they'd get a cup of coffee right to me and were just so nice. And
that was
I'm not saying you don't. What? Oh, baklava.
But
to me, it was usually moussaka. I love me some moussaka.
Oh, you got
love
good taste.
Yeah.
Very good taste.
Mm-hmm.
When I was up in Pittsburgh, they had a Greek festival, and I got this baklava, and it was like 15 layers, just so flaky that it would just melt in your mouth.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the dolmas and all that stuff. I mean, you know, we were talking to Rose, and she's a foodie, and so am I. I love my food. There is no doubt about it. And so, to me, one of the joys is finding restaurants. I love finding restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, I love KFC. I love going to McDonald's and all those places, but I also love the little local-owned restaurants. Like, the best pizzeria and the most crowded restaurant in this town is Charlie's Pizza, a locally-owned joint that's been open since about 78, 79. That's what you're losing in gentrification is the local flavor, not as much the buildings.
Well, you know what? I don't go to chains. I won't go to chains. Not unless I absolutely have to. To me, it's always local. I won't order Domino's or I won't order, you know, any of these things. Give me a local pizzeria. Give me a local sandwich shop. You know, not Subway. No thanks. But that's me.
Remember, support your local everything while you're there because you never know when they're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. There's a local deli. I have to bring one of my students up to a different town every day during the week. It's actually pretty – it's like maybe a quarter the size of Rochester, so it's more of an industrial place than where I live right now. And there's a deli there that's it's quite good. And they've been having some problems because just the town is trying to clean things up, and they're having a lot of issues. But I would hate to see them close down because they've got the best food. I like you guys are saying, I'll just literally walk in there, I'll have a coffee and a club sandwich ready to go for me. It's like they see me pulling in, and it's already ready to go.
Oh.
So it's so sad. That, you know, the cities think that they can just push out everything that makes it good just to make themselves look better in the public eye. It is ridiculous. Especially when it comes to you know, the people there. I mean, okay, I'm done.
No, yeah, you just hit it nail right on the head, right, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just
and
that
was the rest of the time here. This is definitely going to be a Carl's half-hour bit. Well, I don't know how long. Since I don't know how much tower, if you don't mind, we're going to skip the music.
Okay, well, let me get ready. Why don't you give me a second here, okay?
Okay.
Just add some
we'll
stuff.
Keep
Go.
Going. But, yeah, okay. That's one of the nicest things about driving is all the local Pittsburgh stuff they order that you're not going to get anywhere else, like the halloos. Well, you know this, Doc. How great
was it
to drive in?
Ask me if this is Pittsburghian or what. They said, create a pizza. We'll make it for you. Anything you want. All right. Kielbasa and mushrooms with sriracha. They made that pizza. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to die because I was in heaven. It was so good.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's the main thing about these little small places is they really appreciate your coming in and being
the
customer.
And they treat you like family. They don't care if you know if you're you know 10 feet tall and purple. Well, they may care if you're 10 feet tall if you can fit through the door. That way they can feed you. But you know they treat you like family. They don't even care. If this is your first time there, they treat you like you are a blood relation, and it is wonderful. It's so nice. I'm tearing up when I say that because around here it's like I'm not and where I live. I'm an outcast. It's like going to Pittsburgh down to the Riverside in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania. Oh my God, I felt like I was at home. Seriously.
Yeah. And are you almost ready, Carl?
I'm ready.
Okay, but before we get to Carl, I want to say this. This holiday season, don't be a Democrat. Don't be a Republican. Don't be a liberal. Don't be a social justice warrior. Don't be a white power person. Just
be a human being.
You might like
it. Yeah.
And
that's
here
good,
Carl
talking
about
point.
The fucking lions or some kind of story. He told me about it with the swing of the fucking week.
Okay, here goes.
Okay.
It's so big that it made Carl's phone explode.
There we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, so guess what, guys? The swing is a whim away. Yes, it is. All I have to do is get to my Facebook page here, and here we go. So, in Kenya, there was a magistrate who witnessed two lions having homosexual sex. And what he said was, well, they must have learned the behavior from gay tourists. Okay, so you're a gay tourist. You go to Kenya, which is not a good idea because they basically can put you away for life for being gay. Okay, yeah, you're going to do that. And then you're going to go and you're going to have sex on the plane where the lions are. Now, if the lions are having sex, you know, that might be an idea, but they're already having sex. They're not worried about you. But no, they have little binoculars, and they're looking at you, and they're, ooh, that looks interesting. Let's try that, you know? And of course, you know, seriously, what the fuck are they thinking, okay? Yeah, okay, so now the lions have had gay sex. Now they have to go. And they have to have reparative sex conditioning. Now, are you going to get a lion, you know, get him down in a chair and try to teach him not to be gay? No, let me tell you something. You know, the guy is going to look at you and eat you. And I'm not talking about sexually. Just basically going to eat you. So you know what? This guy needs to get a fucking life. Okay.
Well, Carl,
go
you
ahead,
gotta remember this,
go.
Remember, this comes from a country that will execute people for being witches. This is also a country that hunted down and killed a goat because they thought a person transformed themselves into the goat and robbed a store.
We're gonna burn that motherfucker down. We'll get some matches.
It's very backwards.
You know, it just absolutely just floored me. But you know, the thing about it is, you know, it's all about fear. They're afraid of the other, and the thing is, if you look at animal behavior, you know, being gay in animals is not that unusual, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm joking about it, but it also bothers me that, you know, the blame is gay tourists, and of course, gay American tourists. Okay, again, I'd love to see the tourist people that are going to Kenya who are gay, because let me tell you something, they already know they ain't going there, okay? And they didn't, you know. And to me, the whole joke, of course, is you know, they're out there. Of course, you know, you're not having gay sex in your hotel room. No, you're out in the fucking plane where the antelope can look at you and laugh at you and all of this type of stuff. And the lions are right there. What the fuck are they thinking? Seriously. It just boggles the mind how, you know, Moors and Morays and religion and all of this can just fuck you up, man. Seriously. And this is coming from someone who's very religious. Yeah, I say bad words and that sort of thing, but you know what? I'm tired of it. Anyway, so there you go. There's the whim, and it was the lions not sleeping, but God damn it, they're having gay sex, so we got to do something about it. Okay, and that, my friends, is the swing of the week.
Okay, but yeah, that makes no sense at all. I mean, just dumb. I mean, I can just see it over there in the bushes. Hey, what? Look at them two. What about it?
Yeah.
It looks kind of good. Yeah, but what are they doing? They butt-fucking each other. Any women for that? No. Well, let's try that. Shit, women's always going out hunting. Let's try that.
You know, they're always bitching us, too, you know? I mean, seriously, you know? You know, let's see if we can cut the women out. You know, it's funny, and it's actually rather pathetic that humans actually think that. But we're not just talking about, so we're talking about a government official. A government
mm-hmm.
official. And let alone, let's take a look at our own government sometimes. It's almost scary how close it is. And we won't get into that, but, you know, dear. Anyway, enough. We can move on from here, Stephen.
No, I mean, yeah. We can just finish the show off here. We've got another 15 minutes. So Tuesday we're going to be doing the 80s horror, The Rise of the DTV. And that's going to be fun because we're going to talk about how all of the exploitation guys and the porn guys were wondering, took a look at video, and they're like, hey, they're making money there. And so you got to see all of the drive-in classics and movies that you love on video and new ones too. And that will be the subject of Tuesday's show. And do you have anything planned for Friday, Mr. Doc?
I'm currently working on that. I'm definitely working on that. We will have a show Friday. I would say give me at most 12 hours and we'll have a show idea. I apologize for not having one for the bigger week.
The reason that I'm being crazy about the DTV Rise is we're going to have one of the biggest directors to really come from that, and that is Mr. Jim Wynorski. From starting out writing Chopping Mall to working with Charles Band and Fred Olin Ray, this is going to be fun show.
Oh,
OMG,
I'm so looking forward to that.
He's made some awesome plays.
Next Tuesday, well, we
yes.
have to do it every year because it's a thing, and it's our Thanksgiving show Carliversary. And instead of Blood Freak this year, we're going to talk about one man. And he put out films, and this goes again with The Rise of DTV. Because this guy took these two films that weren't professionally made and basically just put them out on video and made money, and they became crap classics. And that would be the films of the one and only Chester Novel Turner. Yes, we're going to be watching Black Devil Doll from Hell and Tales from the Quadet Zone.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be asking yourself after
it's gonna
over.
Hurt.
Okay, and I will warn everyone. I need to warn everyone. I will go off ad infinitum on the Casio score. Oh, good God. That's going to drive me fucking crazy.
And
but nonetheless,
we tried to get some other things, like we want to get Giant Claw. Not everyone had it. We wanted to do this one, big one. Not everyone had it. The Chester Novel Turner films, yeah, we got it. Even Donna has them.
Wow.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And with that, good night. And like I said, you need to stop being Republican or political and start being human. Because this is the human race, people. And without your brothers, your friends, your family, what the hell are you going to do?
If I could just add something to that before we go. My favorite quote comes from Kurt Vonnegut. And it's in God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater. And he's talking to two young babies that have just been born. And all he says is, be kind, babies, be kind. Please be kind to other people. That's how we're supposed to live.
And later tonight will be the Silver Show. And please, if you can donate, because he's in a rough patch right now. And it's a damn shame that a lot of these 70 guys that busted their asses to do good work in these films and pretty much got a decent amount of films in their name don't have a decent amount of cash to their names.
Yeah. You know, Jeannie, we love you. Our thoughts and prayers will get everything out for you. She also has a new project coming out, too, which we'll talk later. But
okay,
Jeannie,
and...
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you
I
go
was
ahead.
Just going to Jeannie, we love you. We love
yeah,
you,
we
and
love.
We're with you.
And with that, say goodnight, Doc.
Good night, everybody. Oh, I just, no, yes, good night, everybody. And don't be a jerk.
No.
Be good to
others. No.
Be good to everybody.
Okay.
Waffles, damn it, waffles.
And always remember the most important rule of the Steve's Video Store Manta is always keep scanning the shelves because there's always going to be new titles for you to find that you haven't seen yet. And with
Absolutely.
That, good night and much love to everyone who's listening to it. And now...